Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I'm Bob Mendelson, and this is the Bob's Your Uncle podcast. Today we're going to talk about resurrection. Sounds like a rock and roll band or the latest movie blockbuster. It's also about things that Jewish people believe. Hang in there, let's see where this takes us. You can now find us and comment to us wherever you get your podcasts. Tell us what matters to you, what triggers your joy, what bothers you in the world. Let us know. We'll see where the Spirit leads us. Wherever you are just now, whether you're out for your evening constitutional, or you're here in Australia, or back in the United States with friends, or all by yourself with your headset on, hey, wherever you are, thanks for joining us these 18 minutes. Of note, the opinions are strictly my own and those of my guests. On this date in history, Tuesday, the 2nd of April, in 1917, the United States President Woodrow Wilson requested Congress to announce war against Germany. In 1968, on the 2nd of April, sci-fi film 2001, A Space Odyssey, had its world premiere. And in 1982, the Falkland Islands were seized by Argentine troops. They called them Las Malvinas, and that's the historical marker of the week. And today we're talking about resurrection. Look at these words from the thesaurus: renaissance, rebirth, revivification, reappearance, restoration, restoration, resurgence, renewal, revitalization. I don't know if you hear it, I certainly do. The letters R-E at the beginning means let's do this over again. Whether it's to be alive, as in vivify, to make alive, or to realize, or to be born again, to renew, you get the idea. Resurrection is about starting over. And I like that. I like that we're talking about that in this season. You see, Sunday, a couple days ago, was the Christian holiday of Easter. I know there's a divide in the Christian world when they celebrate it. Some on the Jewish holiday, the Sunday during the Jewish holiday of Passover, some. And it's all based on the equinox and when the full moon comes out at the beginning, just before midnight or just after. And that's why this year the Western world celebrates Passover beginning April 21 in just 3 weeks. And the Western world celebrated Easter on 31 March. So it's a little unusual. Well, the big story in Easter, whenever it is celebrated, is that the Messiah, Yeshua, the one, the hero of the story, was killed. And then the story is that he rose from the dead. Whether that's renaissance, rebirth, reappearance, or revitalization, whatever they mean by that, let's talk about that. And I say it's a Jewish idea. I know that we regularly pray in the Amidah, that's the Jewish standing prayer, the 18 benedictions, said regularly during the day and even as the evening falls. We pray, Baruch Ata Adonai Mechayei HaMetim, the one who revitalizes or rebirths us from the dead. Techiyat HaMetim, this idea of the raising from the dead, very Jewish idea. Not that we did that a lot before David Copperfield. We didn't do it. I mean, there are stories in the record of Scripture of this one or that one being dead and coming back from it, or so it appears. So what is the Jewish view? Certainly, Rambam, the great Maimonides, penned in his 13 Principles of Faith. He said, I believe in the doctrine of the resurrection. Some people said that he wasn't exactly committed to it in Mishneh Torah. He said it was something that fools say, but when he was charged with the denial of resurrection, he emphatically argued that he did in fact believe in it, and it is one of the 13 principles of faith. But a few hundred years later, and for us about 150 years ago, in the Pittsburgh Platform, the liberal Jewish world, in the States it's called Reform Judaism, definitely rejected the idea of resurrection and made it into a almost Eastern view of the immortality of the soul, that we are somehow reborn, but they took it away from the idea of a literal physical resurrection or coming back to life. They even like the idea of the soul being reincarnated, but that's not the idea of the righteous coming back. I remember why do you bury a Jewish man in his kittel, in his religious robe? Because when he comes back from the dead, that's what he'll be wearing, the clothing in which he'd been buried. Huh, that's one of those things I remember. Look, this is why some Jewish people are buried on the Mount of Olives, as close to the Eastern Gate as they can there in Jerusalem. Why? Because according to the story, when Messiah comes, they would say, that he will come through right there at the Eastern Gate and bring the dead with him. That is, they'll come back to life. So that's why so many choose to be buried there. Look, there are references to it, hints of it, of course, in the record of Scripture. That's a good place to look. Most Jewish people in the Orthodox Jewish world hold to resurrection as something which will come when the Messiah comes. The temple, they say, will be rebuilt in Jerusalem, and Jewish people, even from here in Australia, will be gathered along with all the Jews and all the bodies of the dead and everybody reunited. Not just your body will be back, but your soul, wherever that went, will be joined together with you, with your body. Pretty cosmic. You might remember the story from 1 Kings chapter 17, where there was a woman who was whose son became ill, and it was so severe that he died. And the woman was mad at Elijah, the prophet who was staying with her. And what do you have, she said, what do you have against me, O man of God? You came to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son? I mean, grief was blasting out of her at him. So Elijah said to the woman, give me your son. He took him from her arms, carried him up into the upper chamber where Elijah was staying. He laid him on his own bed, and then Elijah prayed, really cried out to the Lord, O Lord my God, have you brought calamity even on the widow with whom I sojourn by killing her son? So he stretched himself on the child three times and cried out to the Lord, let this child's life come to him again. And the Lord listened to the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child came into him again, and he revived. There's that word, revived. And Elijah took the child, brought him down from the upper chamber into the house and delivered him to his mother. Elijah said, "Here you go. See, your son lives." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know you're a man of God and that the word of the Lord is in your mouth is truth." So resurrection happened even in the Old Testament, and that's pretty significant. Elijah had raised one boy, and Elisha, his disciple, who had a double portion of Elijah's strength, or koyach, source of life, he raised two. So Elijah raised the widow of Zarephath's son, and Elisha, in 2 Kings 4, raised the Shunammite woman's son. And then, after he died, Elisha died, and they buried him. This is in 2 Kings 13. Another miracle happened after he died. Sometime after he died and was buried, some men were burying another body in the same area, and the gravediggers saw a band of Moabite raiders coming, and rather than risk an encounter, they threw the man's body into the grave of Elisha. And scripture records in verse 21 there, "When the body touched Elisha's bones, the man came to life and stood up on his feet." So we've got three miracles of resurrection that took place in the Old Testament. And of course, the Newer Testament has several of those. The widow of Nain, her son was raised also. Jairus' daughter in Luke chapter 8. Lazarus, the most famous, I imagine, because we see more about that story in the record of the biography by John about his good friend Eliezer, or Lazarus. And I remember Mary said, "You know, Lord, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died," which is true, because Jesus would have seen to it, but he'd been dead 4 days, which is almost biblical phrasing of he's dyingly dead, and Yeshua raised him. And there were various people who believed. In Matthew 27, we see many of them at the resurrection of Yeshua come out of the graves. Tabitha, her Greek name was Dorcas, she was a believer, and this took place. Peter came to her home there in the book of Acts, chapter 9, and she was raised up. Eutychus, that young guy who fell out the window, but most notably is Yeshua himself. And some will say, "Now that can't be. I mean, everybody knows resurrection doesn't take place because we're looking at today and saying, therefore, it never did." This uniformitarian law is not so much a law. This idea of science or philosophy or God activity, well, you know, it'd be interesting to say everything that ever was is and everything that is always has been, but I'm not sure that I believe that. Here's what's clear. Jesus died. That's clear. Sorry, Hugh Schoenfeld, that's really clear. He died. They stuck a spear in him, and out came water and blood, obviously a result of asphyxiation there on the cross. The great historian of the Jewish people, Pinchas Lapid, said that he believed that Jesus rose from the dead. I mean, he really did believe that. What he said is, of course, there's no real proof that that matters. I mean, they say it happened, but it doesn't really matter. Okay, I think it matters. I mean, what did Lapid say? "I accept the resurrection of Easter Sunday not as an invention of the community of disciples, but as an historical event." I mean, he concluded that the recorded events, I mean, here he is, a Jewish scholar, the recorded events are too rooted in history for there to be any major revisions or deceptions involved in the writing. He believed that Jesus rose from the dead, but really only as a type or role model for Gentiles to prepare them for the coming of the Jewish Messiah. That's bizarre. Now, I think it's clear, and there are two real issues that we see in the record of the scriptures that almost, if you will, prove that there was a Yeshua who really did rise from the dead. What are the two things? You have to have these two things. People have to see him and eat with him and talk with him after the death. Okay, well, that happened. 500 Jews saw him alive. We see many of those encounters recorded in the record of Scripture. And the other thing that has to be there, or else those are just apparitions, is that the burial site is empty. The tomb has to be empty. And that's the first thing we see in the record of Scripture. The women who came to prepare the spices and deal with him, they looked and they didn't find him. What we know is that if somebody wanted to disprove this Christian thing, all they had to do was bring out the body, do an NCIS or CSI kind of a FBI thing and find the body. Go get the bones, go get the dust, go get the ossuary, go get something that proves, nope, there's Jesus, here he is. So this whole fabricated story is just myth. But they didn't do that because they couldn't find him, because he was risen. But then if he's just risen and nobody saw him, then it is just another fabrication. So those two facts, the eating, sitting, being, listening, talking with him, and the empty tomb, both solidly share with me, and maybe with you, that Yeshua really did rise from the dead. What that means, Pinchas Lapid. What that means, Sylvia Goldblossom of Paramus, New Jersey, is that Yeshua is Messiah. That makes me want to celebrate all that much more. What do you think about that? What do you think about all that? Please write me. Right here, back where you're getting the podcast, or bobmendo@aol.com. Love to hear your views. If you'd like to support the podcast, just click on the link there in the description. It'll take you to a Patreon website, and you can submit some financial help. Until next week, then. When things seem bleak or uncertain, look up to God. He's in his heaven. And Bob's your uncle. Shalom.